And we have come to chapter 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia means brotherly love. Now this is one of the characteristics of believers. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And as we might expect, the church at Philadelphia was a very fine example of what a local congregation of believers ought to be. Now, we've already noticed that in the second and third chapters of the Revelation, the seven churches addressed here not only were seven actual churches in proconsular Asia, but they also give us a prophetic preview of the whole church age. We know what things are like all through the church age by reading these seven letters. Now, of course, the way we know that a key belongs to a lock is to try it and see if it fits. And this key fits perfectly. And we've already noticed a number of these churches. We have seen how that Ephesus stands for first century Christianity and the decline that began because they left their first love. How Smyrna stands for that age, especially the second and third centuries when persecutions came on the church. And we have followed the church down through Pergamos, where she began to be united to the world, a bad marriage, and Thyatira, the rise of the papacy, and Sardis, the Reformation period. And now we've come to Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, we believe, covers that period of time, especially in the 18th and 19th centuries, when real earnest Christians, dissatisfied with the results of the Reformation, began to realize that something more was needed. They needed to get back further. They ought to go back to the Bible itself. Now, there have been many movements in the last two or three centuries that have aimed at restoring the people of God to primitive Christianity, to get back to the book rather than to the customs of any organization. This is what is said to Philadelphia. These things saith he that is holy and he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Now the salutations present the Lord Jesus in the way best suited to each individual church. These people who had turned to the Lord himself were to be satisfied with him in his holy and true character. If we're going to walk with the Lord, we've got to remember that he is holy. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? Then he has the key of David. And this is a quotation from the 22nd chapter of Isaiah, where Eliakim was said to have the key of David, and he was the treasurer. And of course he is a picture of the Lord Jesus, the true treasurer who opens all his treasure houses to those who are willing to receive from him. And if you'd come to the Lord Jesus as Savior, you would receive the treasures, the gifts of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins and the home in heaven and all of these blessings. And then as a Christian, you keep coming to David, our David, the Lord Jesus. Keep coming to him for all that he has to give you. You'll find that he is enough for any situation. Now he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And so he opens to us not only the door to heaven, for he himself is the door, but he opens to us the opportunities, he opens to us the scriptures, he opens doors of service, and eventually he's going to open the door and welcome us into the Father's house. Be sure that you go through the doors the Lord has opened for you and that you don't try to force any of those he hasn't. Then he says, thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now these are the marks of a Christian who is really trying to go on for the Lord in our day. Little strength, that is, only the strength that we draw from him day by day, not going in our own strength. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. keeping his word, regardless of what others think, regardless of what we may think ourselves. If the book says it, that's enough. Let's go by the book. Let's turn to the word. Let's settle everything. Not simply how to be saved. There are many Christians who are very earnest about preaching salvation by grace, and they wouldn't have any other preaching. But then when it comes to the matters of how to conduct the local church, or how to carry on the work of the Lord, they seem to feel that they're perfectly free to abandon the word. We don't want to do that. Let's keep his word. And then he says, I was not denied my name. We live in a day when people feel it is necessary to take some name. They're not satisfied with the name the Lord has given them. They're not satisfied just to be believers and brothers in Christ and simple Christians. But they feel that they have to have some tag, some denomination. That's what the word means, giving a name to us. Well, let's take his name. That's enough, isn't it? And if I belong to the Lord and you belong to the Lord, then we're brothers and we can have fellowship together. Then he says, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. And so we see that there is false profession along with the real, but these people were able to discern the one from the other. And we should have discernment. Now, we're not judges, but we should have discernment. We should know those who are genuine and those who are counterfeits. For Satan always has his counterfeits. This does not necessarily mean hypocrites. You may be a perfectly sincere person and be one of Satan's counterfeits, and you ought to find out for sure whether you really is. Now, these people were commended for keeping the word of his patience. And this, of course, has to do with the return of the Lord, because patience for a Christian is always connected with the return of Christ. It's a patience of hope, the blessed hope of his return. And then they were looking for his return, because he says to them in verse 11, Behold, I come quickly. That is, very soon and very suddenly. Notice that he promises to keep them from the hour of temptation. Now, this same phrase is translated elsewhere, the great tribulation. This is one of the promises that Christians will never pass through the time of Jacob's trouble, as it's called in Jeremiah 30. This is not for Christians, and Christians will not be left here for that great tribulation period. We're going to be kept from that hour of temptation or of the great tribulation. It's going to come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, dwell upon the earth doesn't mean simply to live on this planet. But this is a compound phrase. It means literally earth dwellers. And this phrase is used 10 times in the book of the Revelation. Earth dwellers are people who belong to this earth. Do you belong to this world or the next? Think that one over, my friend. Now there are promises to the overcomers. Oh, by the way, he says, take heed that no man take thy crown. Now you can't lose your eternal life, you can't lose your home in heaven, but you can lose your reward. Crowns are given for rewards. We don't earn our salvation, we don't earn our place in heaven, we don't earn eternal life. This is the gift of God, according to Romans 6:23. But we do earn the crowns, and there are 5 of them. Be sure you don't lose yours, brother and sister. Overcomers, and this means those who really believe him and trust him, will be made pillars of God and will go out no more and will have the name of God and the name of the city of God, the New Jerusalem, and his new name written upon them. I think this is especially significant in a day when people make so much of having a right name here on this earth, and Christians are asked not to deny his name. He's promising us that one of these days, if we do not deny his name here, he will see to it that we have names aplenty. The name of God and the name of the city and the Lord's own new name written upon him. Are you satisfied to wait? Are you satisfied to go on for that time when the Lord will exalt you? Are you satisfied to be a nobody now in order to be true to the Lord and to his word and honor his name, and then wait for the time when he will make the overcomers to be pillars in the temple of God. Are you willing? This is a place of importance. Now, heaven is a gift, but the place you're to have in the kingdom, the place you're to have in God's future plan, the reigning time, will be meted out to those who have been faithful to him in whatever he has given us to do. This has nothing to do with your ability. It has nothing to do with your place. You may be the most obscure Christian under the sound of my voice. And yet, if you're faithful to the Lord in what he has given you to do, one of these days he'll give you a place of prominence as a reward in that coming day. Let us be sure that we're faithful to him. This is the emphasis here. And so Philadelphia pictures for us that period of the church's history, we believe, that began after the Reformation, when Christians realized that things are not all they ought to be, but we're going to try to see that we are right, and the Christians with which we are associated are right, and we're going to go on in happy fellowship with himself. We're going to try to follow his word and honor his name. I want to ask you if you really belong to Philadelphia. Now, no group has any right to claim this exclusively. Nobody can say we are Philadelphia and the others are all wrong. But each group can seek by the Lord's grace to be what we ought to be. The Lord bless and lead you on for himself and make you of use to him as long as he leaves you here. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us. We pray for those who have never trusted Christ that they might receive him very soon, and that thou wilt help thy people to live in such a way as to bring honor to the name of our Savior, who is so worthy.